begin by reading the announcements for the week. That's on. You hear me now? You coming through? Tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., we'll have an open forum meeting here at the church. And Wednesday at 6 p.m., the children will hear. And at 7 p.m., we'll have a business meeting.
Thank you. Thank you for that beautiful special. I know that our brother has prepared a message for us this evening. I'd ask each one of you to open your hearts and your minds to the words that he has to say. And now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother and assistant pastor, Jim Yates.
Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful song. As we come this evening, I thought I was going to be able to just say amen to the sermon you heard this morning, because I found many of the scriptures that I had jotted down to use were either used or partly used. He talked about relationships. In essence, that's what I'm going to talk about this evening, our relationship. A very important relationship. Relationship that starts from the moment that we are conceived until the moment that we meet our Lord. And the decisions that we have to make to get us from point A to point B. And I would like to start out this evening with a scripture in 2 Nephi on page 85. 2 Nephi, the first chapter. Starting in the 111th verse. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. And all things which were created must have remained in the same state in which they were. After they were created, they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would not have, they would not have had no children, wherefore they would remain in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery. And I want you to think about the word joy. As humans, we like to latch on to what makes us happy. I want to be happy. Well, happy comes and goes. But joy, true joy, lasts for a long time. It's not a fleeting thing. It's something that maintains within your heart. It's something that you can think back on and it'll bring a smile to your face. That is joy. Having no joy, for they knew no misery. Doing no good, for they knew no sin. Behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. Because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. We become free to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the law at the great and last day, according to the commandment which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. It's a God-given thing, our right to choose. We start out all the same at birth. Our parents choose for us. And then as time comes on, we start making our own decisions. We start doing things. We start moving up this line that God has given us. But I'm not talking about the decisions. Do I choose Cocoa Puffs or Pebbles today? Or does the blue tie with the black checks go with the blue shirt? Or what color of shoes I want to wear today? That's not the kind of decisions that I'm talking about. The decisions that we are going to have to make on a daily basis to get us to where we can meet God. Recently, in the paper and on the news, we all heard about a young man in his 20s that went hiking. A young man that made some bad decisions in the get-go. He didn't advise people where he was going. He didn't tell anybody when he would be back. He just went. He just went on his own. Much like we do often. We just take off and go off on our own. And we're going along happy, go lucky, and all of a sudden we make a decision, and here we go, off on a tangent. And if we keep on that tangent, that's where the line is going to take us. Our life is going to lead us every step of the way. But that's not to where our goal is. The young man, I'm not going to read the whole article, but there made some statements in the article in the Republic that really caught my eye. I'd like to read a couple of them to you. It says, Thursday, when it took him to the inevitable, to do the unthinkable. He'd been trapped for several days. And he finally had to come to a point of doing the unthinkable. That hard thing. That unthinkable thing. The thing that could, to us, be repulsive at the time. To cut off his own arm to save his life. Are we willing, when we're off on this tangent, to make a hard decision to change our direction and do the hard thing? Well, we've changed the direction, but it's going parallel to God's plan. It is not God's plan. Then it said, he made the decision to sacrifice his arm to save his life. What decisions are we willing to make? What things are we willing to sacrifice to save our spiritual life? So we're not going along that parallel line. In the young people study last night, they discussed decisions of life, a career, school. Some pretty hard discussion was had. And Bob took them to some people that made hard decisions. I'd like to take you into Hebrews in the 11th chapter. I've heard this called a hall of faith. And let's read of a couple of these people that made hard decisions, life-changing decisions. Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out, not knowing whether he went, he obeyed God, not knowing the end of where he was going. And the minute he took that step to start obeying God, he set up a chain of events that took him to an extremely hard decision. Let's turn over into Genesis. The 22nd chapter, starting at the 15th verse through the 18th verse. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hath not withheld thy son, thy only son. What is it that he did not hold? He followed God's commandments and he bound his son, the one that was supposed to be his heir. And he laid him on a pyre as a sacrifice. Ready to do what God required him to do, the unthinkable thing. And I am one to think that he did lay the knife on him before he was held and told to stop. What sadness. What fear. The unthinkable thing. And that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Because he obeyed God's voice and did the hard thing. Because God's ways are not our ways. Turning back into Hebrews, continuing with those there who had mentioned, we're going to drop on down to the 24th verse, talking about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, he was about 40 years old at this time of his life. 40 years old when he made this decision. He wasn't young, he was old. So the time to start doing right is not dependent upon your age, unless your time is numbered. And none of us know that time. So it behooves us to make the decisions quickly. Refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Change his lifestyle, left the comforts of the palace, to become a sheep herder, to live in the rugged. If somebody walked up to you and said, I'm going to leave my house here in Phoenix and I'm going to live in a tent down by Ajo, what are you going to think of them? Man, you've lost your mind. But that's what God asked him to do. To prepare him for the things that he was to do later on in life. God asked him to leave the comforts and all that he had, more than likely he would have been Pharaoh, to become a sheep herder in a land that just barely maintained the life of his sheep. And he didn't even own those. He just worked for his father-in-law. He was a servant. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Think about that. He talked face to face with God. Talked to the invisible one. I'd like to look at Egypt as those of around us where we work. And the king, he didn't fear their wrath for being who he was. We should not fear the wrath or the ridicule of those around us for being who we have chose to be, a child of God. So we make another decision. Hopefully it's the right one. I'm going to draw it as one. If we kept on this, not making any other decisions in our lives, we're still going up this way. Here's our mark. And it's not a big mark. It's a little mark. To hit the bullseye is a tiny thing. Hopefully, our decision will take us off this way. But eventually, we have to get back to this road. We can't intersect it up here. We have to intersect it down here. A few of the next scriptures that I want to read have to deal with decision making. Deal with them in a harsh way. I'd like to turn over into Mosiah, page 223. King Benjamin is speaking to the congregation. Here, starting in the 48th verse, reading to the 50th verse. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby you may commit sin. For there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts, and your words, and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God, and to continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your days, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. We have some hard decisions to make, even in anger we're held accountable. We must watch our thoughts and our words, and more importantly our outward deeds. And we must make the decision to keep the commandments of God. And not just to keep them, but to endure in them. To constantly keep making those decisions. And forsaking that thing that we had to leave behind that was so hard for us to leave. And not turn back to it. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Starting at the 14th verse to the 18th verse. Be ye not unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Young people, listen up. This is hard. But I want you to think and look around and tell me how many people you've met and that people have married, that if they already did not have the mind of righteousness in them, that it did not draw the believer away. Because they're not going to change after you say, I do. They're going to continue in what they thought. So if you're looking at this wonderful person, and there's nothing in them that is righteous, there's no thought in their mind of keeping God's commandments, you're not going to change them. They have to change on their own. And if they don't change, your life is going to be miserable if you attach yourself to them. Think about that. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Should be his people. In Exodus, in the 19th chapter, it calls his people a peculiar treasure. Something of great worth. Something that to have, to excel to be of great worth to God. Our decision process should be to align us that way, to make us of worth to God. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The promise. The promise, if we can do the hard things in this life, that he will be our father and treat us like a child of his. In James, the 4th chapter, starting at the 7th verse. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Choices. Choices. Submit yourself. Resist. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Revelation, Christ speaking in the 3rd chapter, the 15th to the 16th verse, talks about being warm and lukewarm and spewing you out of his mouth, being double-minded. He wants you to make a decision. You can't have it both ways. Just turn to that. Revelations 3:15-16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would rather cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Those people that are double-minded, they can't make a decision, that think that just because they're living a life close to this mark, close to the way that God wants it, aren't going to make it. They're not going to hit the mark. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter turn to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And that's speaking of the things of the world. Let those things that once brought you great happiness out into the world be something that you mourn over. Something that does not bring you any joy anymore. Because your sights have changed from the things of the world to the things that are godly. And those things are what bring you joy and bring you peace. Be afflicted and mourn over your past life and not want to return to it again. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. The 14th to the 15th verse. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. As we go on our journeys, we're to become adults. Not like little children where we're being tossed and told what to do, but to stand on our own 2 feet and make those decisions, those hard decisions. One that hopefully will bring us in our journey at a 90 to get us back to the path, to leave all the other behind. Because this is a journey. We're moving. That we've left behind us a few minutes ago is in the past. We can't turn around and pick it back up. We're in forward motion. Paul says it in a way that I like in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13. The 11th verse. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When we stand on our own 2 feet and start making our decisions, we have to put away the childish things that people are going to lead us by the hand and take us every step of the way. We're to stand on and make our decisions and suffer the consequences of those decisions. Evaluate those decisions. Make sure that they keep us going in the path that we want. We can't just enter in the gate and shut it and say, I've made it. Because the path continues. It keeps going. As long as we take breath, our path, our work is continued. There's no way along that journey can we stop, sit on our laurels, wipe the sweat off our foreheads, and pat ourselves on the back and say, job well done. We have to keep moving, have to keep trudging, no matter how heavy the load that we pile on ourselves. I'd like to turn over into 2 Nephi, back on page 86. Starting with the 122nd verse to the 124th verse of Lehi's admonition to his children. And now, my sons, I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein. Hopefully you'll be able to make those decisions. That can put us on that path to be where the final goal is of being with God. I'd like to close with my last scripture in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. In Paul's writings. Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Make the decisions to put on that armor, that assistance that God is there to give us. Make the decision to do the hard thing. And when you think that your life is getting a little hard because of decisions you've made in your past, compared to the decisions you have to make, and then think that your arm is pinned by an 800-pound boulder, and what you have to do to live. Think about it.
Thank you, Jim. Let's close our service this evening with the use of number 180, 180, and let's stand while we sing. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this time we've spent together here this evening. And dear Lord, we thank Thee for the words that we have heard. We'd ask that Thou would be with each one of us, dear Lord, that we might be able to apply these things to our lives, that we might be able to make those decisions in life that would keep us on the straight path to eternal life. And dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would guide us and direct us in all that we do, and that Thy Spirit might always be there with us, and that we might have that desire in our hearts to follow Thy commandments and to serve Thee to the end. And dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would be with all those who stand in need, all those who have asked for an interest in our prayers, that Thou would be with each one, dear Lord, to uplift and strengthen and heal them as they stand in need. And dear Lord, we'd ask that Thou would be with Thy ministry, that Thou would always guide them and direct them, and we'd ask that Thou would call more ministry, for we know that the need is great. Dear Lord, we'd ask now that Thou would be with us as we go back out into the world, that Thou would always be there to hold us in Thy hand. We ask for thy guidance and direction in all things. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.